In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. Well, we have one of the most attractive Sunday liturgies in the whole year. It's the story of the man born blind as the gospel, and so the texts are all about light, which is beautiful, you know, nothing more pleasing than light, nothing more devastating than to be without it. Whether you think of Milton's poem on his blindness or just don't have light in our minds. So the first part of what I want to present today continues this notion of the call to holiness, but I want to look at the beginning of the journey toward pure light. You know, we have this tradition in the church that you can divide the progress of a person toward union with God into three stages: purgative, illuminative, and unitive. And by various people say it in various ways, as we'll see, it does correspond to something. Now the key, as I'm going to point out in a moment, see, prayer is like the thermometer by which to judge progress. It's not all of health. I could have a great thermometer, but be very sick. In other words, prayer takes us, shows us about where we are, and therefore a lot of the discussion of the stages has to do with our kind of prayer, which presupposes that we're praying and that we are growing in prayer. So you can call it like the analysis of prayer, reflecting on what kind of prayer you have, is a thermometer for your whole life, your obedience to the Lord, your death to self, your inner mortification, your reconciliation, your control over your imagination and your drives. All of this feed into the level of prayer that we normally have. Now, as all the saints and mystics tell us, there can be a leap out of that to another form of prayer, but it's not stable. And so it's our normal life of prayer that gives us an idea of where we are with the Lord. And I'm going to read some criteria. This is a quote from Aquinas about the need for grace to grow. It goes, "Thus, in the state of intact nature, man needs a gratuitous capacity, grace, supplementing the capacity of his nature in one respect, namely, to perform in will the supernatural good. His nature is intact. Raise that nature to a higher level, and off he goes." That was Adam. You see? But in the state of spoiled nature, that's us, he needs grace or light in two respects. One, in order to be healed, and further, that he may perform the good proper to supernatural capacity, which is meritorious. In other words, we need the grace of God to have our personalities change enough that we're sensitive to the light of God and grow. Okay. Now, this is a quote from Novo Millennio Ineunte. I quoted this last week, another one last week. "The great mystical tradition of the church of both East and West has much to say in this regard. It shows how prayer can progress as a genuine dialogue of love to the point of rendering the person wholly possessed by the divine beloved. This is not rhetoric. This is the witness of all those who have matured in the Christian life. Possessed by the divine love, vibrating at the Spirit's touch, resting filially within the Father's heart. This is the lived experience of Christ's promise. He who loves me, this is an abbreviation of it, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I want to talk about that for a moment, because perhaps an experience I had with this text can help us all. The full text goes, "The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." I will show myself. It's up to me to show myself. I had just finished defending my thesis, and I was looking forward to, I came over from Jerusalem to defend it, and I was looking forward to a few days in Rome to see my friends, go out and have some nice Italian wine with them, you know, and supper. And the Lord said, "I want you to go on retreat tomorrow, the day after, the night after." My defense was at night. The very next morning, go off on retreat. Well, I obeyed, but I wasn't really thrilled. I asked a friend, where's a good place to go? She found me, she's a Mother Superior, found me a great place, and I went there. It was April, so up in the mountains where I went, east of Rome, there was still snow there. While I was there, I was reading this text, which says, "And this is the judgment, that men have preferred the darkness to light, because their works are dark." And I was struck. And the Lord challenged me. He said, "How much do you really believe in me? Suppose all your friends were to say, 'I'm not the Son of God,' would that shake you? Suppose all the theologians in the church were, suppose the Pope were to say, would that shake you?" I thought, wow, yeah. And I thought, gee, my faith is weak. I mean, do I know Jesus? Do I know, like this blind man going till he finally gets there? And so I was shaken, really, very shaken. And into my mind came this text, the one that Pope just quotes. It's a lovely. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one loving me. And the one loving me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." I can tell you, I forgot to count. It's 30-some-odd years since that, at least. The Lord has kept his promise. The Lord has kept his promise. "I will show myself to you." It's a very precious, and that's what the Pope is talking about. So then, it goes on, another text, "To profess the Church as holy means to point to her as the bride of Christ, for whom he gave himself, precisely in order to make her holy. This is, as it were, the objective gift of holiness offered to all the baptized. But the gift in Decern becomes a task which must shape the whole of the Christian life. This is the will of God, your sanctification. You can't get around it." So I want to just discuss informally, perhaps I just read this one part of this text from John of the Cross. "Just as the soul, according to St. Paul, will know then as she is known by God, so she will also love as she is loved by him. As her intellect will be the intellect of God, her will then will be God's will, and thus her love will be God's love. The soul's will is not destroyed here, but is so firmly united with the strength of God's will, with which he loves her, that her love for him is as strong and perfect as his love for her." Isn't that awesome? And this is before heaven. That appreciation, as I'll return to, is what's meant nowadays by a new and divine holiness. God so takes over us if we want it, that we love, we live, we think with His life, love, thoughts, mind. We're transformed into God. Now, the first stage of this is to turn from sin. That's the purgative way. I'm going to read now from Ralph Martin's book, The Fulfillment of All Desire, where he has 5 different saints, how they describe the purgative way. As far as we're going to go today. The mansions, that's 1 to 3 in Teresa of Avila, turning away from sin, praying, growing in stable, well-ordered Catholic life. That's purgative, getting rid of sin. You know, if I'm addicted to alcohol or sex or money or pride, I haven't begun the spiritual journey. It's that simple. And we tolerate this in ourselves, we priests, and therefore we tolerate it. Oh, that's not so bad. There are priests, I know of some, who would tell college students, you know, intercourse outside of marriage is no sin. I remember when I taught at a Catholic university, and on the final exam, some wrote things like, thanks, we always knew what we were doing was wrong, but everyone told us it was all right. Thanks for telling, because I was teaching the church, I was teaching the body, so I taught what is the body. And then I got thanked for it. Huh? John of the Cross, beginners, meditation, night of the senses. The mind has got to be active and the will has got to be active, and there's got to be a regular prayer time that is not fooled around with every day. Is it hard? Yeah. And if we're out of shape, you know, it's like starting to jog. You know, the first day you jog, your legs are stiff, your breathing is tough, you know? But you got to stick at it. Prayer is the life breath. It's the thermometer of how we relate to God, okay? Catherine of Siena, on the other hand, goes, the beginning is this fear of a slave. I'm going to get punished if I don't. Huh? Nothing wrong with that. That's intelligent. But that's not where God wants us. Said Bernard, we love those who love us. We're beginning. This is in his treatise on De Diligendo Deo, where he treats the stages of love. Okay? And then Francis de Sales, who's the very practical one. He's the director of lay people. Turning away from mortal sin, venial sin, and the affection for sin. That's where he's good. The affection for sin. I may not be sinning, but I wish I were. I'm not very far in my relation to God, and I'm not very far in my union with God. Now, those of us who are meant to be leading God's people have simply got to grow. We've got to grow. Like this blind man, whose trajectory we're going to be tracing in a little while here in the Gospel, till finally he says, Pistevo, I believe, and he prostrates himself. Now he knows the divine reality of Jesus Christ. We have to get there. And the Holy Spirit will move us, urge us all the time. As the Catechism says, prayer is a covenant relationship between God and man. This is next line, is right from 2564, I think. It is the work of the Holy Spirit and ourselves. So, wherever we are, just look at yourself and begin or continue. Okay, that's the three stages for all the time we have today.